In Stephen's last speech, I was presenting him with a dilemma in my speech before, that he would have baptism and then the washing away of sins after that, and that wasn't according to his position. And here's how he answered that. He says, no, I believe that in that case you had baptism and the washing away of the sins and the calling on the name of the Lord all simultaneous. That's what I've been trying to prove tonight, that you receive the washing away of sins simultaneous with being baptized. Now, isn't that what you said, Stephen? I presented you with a dilemma. You've got the washing away of sins occurring after baptism, which is after belief. You said, no, I believe they occurred simultaneous. That's what I wrote down. Washing away of sins occurred at the same time as baptism and the calling. That's exactly, audience, what I've been trying to prove tonight. That Saul of Tarsus received the washing away of sins when he was baptized. And the way he called upon the name of the Lord, he said, Lord, save me. He didn't do it through a prayer. He said, Lord, save me by being baptized, because the Lord has said, if you'll be baptized, I'll save you. And so the way you call upon God to save you is by being baptized. I agree with Stephen that his sins were washed away simultaneous with baptism. Now, he went into tomorrow night's argument, Romans 4. Let's look at number 93 here. Did y'all know in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, God said, I have given you the city of Jericho, given grace. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about. So, the walls of Jericho fell down by grace. I have given unto thine hand Jericho. By faith. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see that? The walls of Jericho fell down by grace through faith. And I'll submit to you that it was not by works. Not by works in this sense. When they walked around those walls, it wasn't that they knocked the walls down. It's not that they caused a little earthquake by all the stomping and the walls just crumbled down. No, all they did was meet a condition that really had nothing to do with knocking the walls down, except that God had said to do it. And when they did it, God knocked the walls down. Now, that's what Romans 4 is talking about. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is talking about. We are saved by grace through faith. The walls of Jericho were knocked down by grace through faith, and it was not of works. Not of works. In other words, not of works. They didn't do it. God did it. Do you see that? What is the earning basis for our salvation? It's not baptism. It's not going to church. Those things you have to do to be saved, but the earning basis is the death of Christ. And that's what Romans 4 is talking about. It's by grace, through faith, not of works. The very fact that we get baptized, we're admitting that we can't do it on our own works. We're admitting that. We're admitting that we cannot live perfectly our whole life without sin, or that we do not, and therefore, and that's the only way you could earn your salvation, is by living perfectly. I believe I have a quote here from Stephen on that, if I could find it. Here's what Stephen said in the sermon I listened to over the internet. In his sermon, Justification by Faith Alone, he says, all you have to do is keep all the commandments perfectly, never failing. That's what I'm agreeing with. If you want to have your salvation by works and earn it, all you have to do is keep all the commandments perfectly, never failing. But since we don't do that, we need to get the forgiveness, which is mentioned in Romans 4, verse 7. We need forgiveness. And when we're baptized, we're asking God to forgive us. We're saying we can't do it on our own. We need your forgiveness. Now, how much time, Papa? Everybody go back and look at the verses on baptism. Please, I encourage you, just accept the plain meaning. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, let me ask you something. He did what I'll call a lot of finagling about, well, is it conditional? Well, is it necessary? When you get to the judgment day and you face God in judgment, and you know that verse said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, are you going to come up to God and say, well, I wasn't sure that was a conditional statement? Or even if it were, I wasn't sure the second thing was necessary. Are you feeling comfortable right now knowing that you're going to have to face God and tell him those little flimsy little arguments? You know, when my dad told me, he that picks a bucket of weeds and hoes a road in the garden and goes swimming, do you think at the end of the day, if I'd gone swimming and I'd left off the part about hoeing the row in the garden, do you think I'd have felt comfortable facing him? He said, well, I wasn't sure that was a conditional statement, Daddy. Ooh, pow! You know what my dad would have done to me. I wasn't sure that second thing was necessary. Everybody here knows I would have got a whipping. I would have got a spanking for that. Everybody knows it. Stephen knows I would have got a spanking. Everybody knows it. If you want to face God in judgment with those little flimsy things, instead of just accepting what it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The scholars, all the Greek says for the remission of sins can go with both. All of them. There's no rule that says that it can't. As we've demonstrated from Haggai 1:9, all the scholars, for the remission of sins, that's what you have to be baptized for. Acts 22:16, as Stephen said, the washing away of sins occurs simultaneous to when you were baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. How could God have made it any plainer? Please let me know how He could have said it any plainer.